you desire to grow in some area of your life, you should constantly be pursuing the knowledge and the anointing that you desire. Pursuit produces results. Desire itself doesn't. God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your grace. God, we thank you for your word, and we submit our hearts today to your word. God, we've already purposed that we're going to obey truth as you reveal it to us, Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, come today and be the very center of everything we do in Jesus' name. Well, bless the Lord. We're talking about relationships. Relationships. Just a reminder, review, or part two, but Father God is above all things relational. God didn't come to a fallen creation because heaven was lacking order or holiness. He considered all of heaven its perfection along with his own holiness secondary. I said secondary to restoring relationship with a messy and broken creation. Consider the following. We are beings created in relationship. We were created in the image of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man in our image. We are created in the image of a relationship. We are created for relationship. God created us in his image to be in relationship with himself. We are called the bride, the children, the sons and daughters, the brothers and sisters. He's called the Heavenly Father. Everywhere in the language of Scripture is relationship in plurality. Only one place do you hear a lot of I will set my throne above the Most High. I will be like the Most High God. Who said that? Lucifer. So selfishness is a big part of the fall. Relationships are huge. We also said that your relationship with God, I call that the alpha relationship. Whatever relationship you have with God is going to affect every other relationship in your life, either positively or negatively. No relationship you have will be any better than your relationship with God. It's just a fact. And until we understand the importance of that relationship, Jesus built his rock upon the church that was Peter. But it wasn't just Peter the man. God didn't build his kingdom on flesh. He built his kingdom on revelation. And what was that revelation that Peter had? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son. If you don't determine that Jesus wasn't just a nice guy, he wasn't just another prophet. He wasn't just the Christ essence manifested in Buddha and Jesus and Muhammad and all these other people and all this other New Age foolishness. He was the Son of the living God. No man comes to the Father except by the Son. It's all about relationship. We need another religion on the planet like we need another tax system. Jesus didn't come to restore religion or to create religion. He came to restore relationship. And then God hides his kingdom behind relationship. You're not going to be able to walk in the kingdom unless you can walk in the kingdom keys for relationship. Humility, honor, love, peace, forgiveness, respect. So whatever relationship you have with God is going to determine everything else. Well, do you have a scripture for that, Pastor Doug? Well, I'm glad you ask. Even though it's not in the King James, I'll share it with you. 1 John 4:20 in the NLT says, if someone says, I love God, but he hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we say that we love God whom we don't see? There's no evidence of our relationship with God if our relationships with people don't reflect that. Relationships are an indicator of spiritual maturity. John 13:35 in the Message says, and this, by the way, this is if you read Letter Bible people, this is in red. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. The world will know we are Christ's disciples by looking at our what? Relationships. Our relationships. Relationships are huge. Relationships, both good and bad, serve to produce that spiritual maturity. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens his friend. You don't want somebody around you where you form a little mutual adoration society where let's go find somebody who has the same demons we do so we'll never be convicted. We need each other. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What does that mean? Every once in a while you get shot when you go hunting with your buddy? Well, I guess if that's possible, hopefully not. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes it's a friend that'll tell you the truth when other people won't. Anybody who'll never tell you the truth is trying to get something from you. They're not trying to add something to you. I said they're trying to take something from you. They want something you have. They're not trying to help you become more like Jesus. Life is not truly experienced until it's shared. Matthew 16:25, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. The same walls we build to keep people out, keep the Holy Spirit out. Our free will is sovereign to God. He doesn't mess with that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not a federal marshal. He doesn't kick the door down. He stands at the door and he knocks. And if you open unto him, he'll come unto you. If you pursue him, he'll pursue you. He wants a relationship. He wants to have access to your life, and he wants you to have access to his life. He doesn't want to be your Buddha that you rub his belly when you need something. He doesn't want to be your Santa. He doesn't want you to be asking him for anything, regardless of how you're living your life. He's given us his word. If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll make my home with you, and the Father will be together, and in relationship, nothing will be impossible for you. Often what we're missing when we're having trouble seeing the impossible come true in our life, don't go check your scripture knowledge, although that helps, but most of you, if you've been in the Word for 20 years, you know the difference between the apostles and the epistles. The epistles were the wives of the apostles. Not true. Flag the tape. Check your relationships. God's trying to add something to you, and you're not going to get to go to God directly for everything you want all the time. I'm just going to tell you, God's going to put people and opportunities in your life. What does the Bible say? I put seeds, what? Seeds in the hands of the sowers. Who gets seed? People who are sowers. People who are ready to give will receive. That's the kingdom paradigm. Well, you give me some, then I'll give you some. That's not the kingdom paradigm. That's the selfish paradigm. The kingdom paradigm is people who are ready to give, get. And the more they're ready to give, the more they get. The more they're ready to obey revelation, the more revelation they get. The less ready they are to obey if they want to analyze. Remember I shared this with you in Russian. Panimayat, prinimayat. Panimayat means to understand. Prinimayat means to receive. Well, in the kingdom, you've got to prinimai it before you panimai it. You've got to receive the truth and say, okay, this is the standard by which I live. And therefore, anything you tell me from now on is just how I can come into agreement with what you said truth is. Revelation is nothing more than reality from God's perspective. Everything else is disillusionment, is illusion and deception. Revelation is what we need. We can't fulfill our destiny or our purpose in life apart from relationships. And by the way, I'm not just talking about marriage here. There are tons of different kinds of relationships. There are tons of opportunities for relationships all around us. Most of the time, it's people who have needs. And God may, you know, when you're praying, isn't it nice when God answers prayers? Isn't it nice when you're praying and somebody comes to you and says, you know, the Lord laid you on my heart, and here's this or here's that. But you know, sometimes God wants you to be the answer to somebody else's prayer too. He wants you to be the answer to, look, when God gives you a gift, one of the biggest things he gives you is self-disinterest. He gives you the opportunity to care for someone else. What does he put in the hands of the sowers? Fruit? No, he puts seed. Then they have to be prepared to do something and then do something with that seed. They have to take care of it. They have to sow it. They have to put it away. They have to cast their bread upon the water. They have to get outwardly focused with that seed. Unless a kernel of seed falls into the ground and dies, it doesn't produce any fruit. If you have a desire to see something birthed in the earth, whether it's a ministry or a church or an outreach or someone else to be saved, whatever it is, there's going to be some death to self involved there. And there's going to be some life to somebody else. Listen, when God wants to serve, he wants to help you, he gives you an opportunity to serve. Service will fix your brain. If you struggle with depression, service will improve your brain chemistry. And by the way, I'm not downing anybody who takes medications, but I'm just going to tell you the facts are there are no medications that restore normal balance to your brain chemistry. That's a myth. Look at the research. Empirical data states it. There's a lot of things we can do to be healthy mentally, but the first things we ought to do is try to make sure that our life is lining up with the Word of God. If we're only thinking about ourselves, if we're stuck in navel gazing, I guarantee you we're going to be depressed. There's no hope. There's no hope in ourselves. The hope of Christ, the hope is Christ in us, but it ain't us. It ain't me. It ain't you. It's him, the hope of glory. To fulfill your purpose, you need relationships. Genesis 2:12 said, I will make of you, what? Into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to whom? To others. I know your mama used to tell me, you're such a blessing. Well, that's over, okay? Now you're a big boy. Now you got to be a blessing. You just ain't a blessing anymore. You got to be a blessing. It's going to involve some actions now. And yes, you're still incredibly cute and precious and God's favorite and yada, yada, yada. But nonetheless, you dramatically increase the impact of your life through relationships. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, how could one chase 1,000 of them and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? It's not an equal equation in the kingdom. 1 + 1 in the kingdom doesn't equal 2, it equals 1,000. When we come together, the whole is bigger than the sum of the individual parts. We create a faith dynamic by which two of us and three of us, the more we come into unity, the more our life is magnified over and over and over again. 1 + 1 is not just one in the kingdom. 1 + 1 is 1 squared, 2 squared, 3 squared, cubed. We begin to grow. We begin to increase our impact. That's what it's all about. In relationship, we can do things that we couldn't do by ourselves. Isn't that right? Casey, good-looking guy. Deanna, good-looking gal. But unless they came into relationship, we wouldn't have the gallery here. Amen. Two of them came together, and together they did something neither one of them could ever have done by themselves. Do you get the trend here? God is all about relationships. The moment we stop having relationships, the human species ceases to exist in the earth. Or if we have the wrong kind of relationships, the kind that don't produce children, that are purely hedonistic, humanity ceases to exist. It's kind of like the lysine contingency from Jurassic Park. The five of you that understood that, thank you for the chuckle. Your relationships shape your character and determine your destiny. If you're hanging around with the pigs, I guarantee you where you're going to end up. It's hard to soar with the eagles when you're hanging around with the turkeys. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Walk with, what does that say? Direction, right? Walk with, it means movement, direction. It means there's a destination involved. When you walk with someone, you're going to share a common destination. Now, I've said this before. Everybody who's a part of your history isn't necessarily a part of your destiny. Not everybody who went the first leg of the race will go with you the second leg of the race. At some point, there's even a possibility that your life will convict the people you're hanging around with, and they'll stop hanging around with you. because there's too much conviction. Of course, it could just be that you're a rude jerk, but probably don't be a rude jerk. That's the moral of that story. Acts 4:13, in the Passion Translation, the council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with them. Remember, alpha relationship. Spending time at the feet of Jesus is the only way to be a Christian. It's the only way. Apart from relationship, you don't know him. Unless you abide in the vine, you can do nothing. Who said that? Jesus. What does he know about Christianity? Not much, apparently, the way it's practiced in many places. But it is a relationship. Relationships are huge. You're going to end up where you end up based on who you're hanging around with. Now, let me just say this before I go too much further, because this next section, we're going to talk about evaluating relationships. Now, we're not talking about evaluating human beings as to their worth. Jesus Christ died for every scallywag, scoundrel, crack dealer, abortionist, whoremonger, whatever you want to pick, Jesus died for every one of them. That gives them value. That gives them value. We're not here to judge their value. They're creating the image of a living God. That gives them value. But that doesn't give them access to my life. Their value, that doesn't give them access to the throne of Christ. God is not willing that any should perish, but do some perish? Why? Because of the decisions they do or don't make. And by the way, not to make a decision about Jesus is to have made a decision. I said not to make a decision about Jesus is to have made a decision. So let's evaluate our relationships. Are all relationships good? No, all relationships aren't good. There are unhealthy relationships. I'm going to take some things out of a book called The 21 Immutable Laws of Relationship by Pastor Gregory La Ijiwali, PhD. He's an African pastor who pastors a church up in Chicago, and I love to listen to him talk. He's got such a great accent. But he's got some real good truths and nuggets. We can evaluate the people in our lives based on about four categories, and I know there's a lot of subcategories, but as a generalization, people usually fall into one of four categories. The first one is adders. Now, I'm not talking about an adder, the viper. I'm talking about an adder. These are people who deposit good things into your life, and they are good influences. They are usually good friends, confidants, and godly family members. You recognize them by what happens to you in their presence. When you are with them, you feel inspired, loved, and believed in. They intentionally add value to your life and make your life more pleasant and enjoyable, increasing your capacity for influence. And you should celebrate these people. If you have 10 of these people in your life, you're a very blessed individual. Because the fact of the matter is, most of us are still so insecure in who we are that we're constantly focusing on our own shortcomings, not enough to trust the blood of Jesus and step out and begin to encourage and help others find their freedom. Which, by the way, is where your freedom comes from. Jesus commanded us to be what? Disciples. Okay, he also commanded us to make disciples. So when are you a disciple of Christ? When you get involved in the process of making disciples. What are you before that? You're a believer. You're a casual believer. But a real believer becomes a doer. I believe you need something to eat. Be blessed, be warm, be filled, be seeing you. That doesn't work. There has to be a corresponding action that validates the profession of what you say you believe. And every confession will be tested. I said every confession you make will be tested. Fear not. There's adders, and you celebrate these people. Then there's subtractors. This set of people takes from you, albeit unintentionally. Being with them puts a burden on you. They drain you of energy. They are receivers, not givers. You will recognize them by your response when they initiate contact with you. They are those people you hesitate to answer phone calls from. Everybody's sitting out there looking so holy. Well, I never call screen. I have so many things I could say about caller ID right now, but I'm not going to do it. These people you tolerate, you don't celebrate. And these people you engage in moderation. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about, in just a second, about access and right. Everybody who's in your life should have earned that right and that privilege. And the reality is they do by their actions. So you've got adders and you've got subtractors. And they're not intentionally trying to take from you. And by the way, God wants us to have subtractors in our lives. He wants us to have needy people in our lives that we can be a part of their obedience. But how much access they give to your, do you give a person like that to your life? Anybody know? You will in a minute. Multipliers. These are people who multiply your life. They greatly enhance you. They push you to be better. They don't live in your comfort zone all the time. I said they don't live in your comfort zone all the time. These are usually mentors and leaders. They push you into your potential. They are your coaches, but not necessarily your friends. They will not tolerate your weaknesses, but will confront them. They love you and seek your increase. They multiply influence in your life. Value these people. Never take them for granted. Appreciate and celebrate them. They push you. They take you someplace you wouldn't go by yourself. And they're not necessarily your friends. Most of the people who have influenced me the most, I didn't barbecue with them on the weekend. We don't swap Christmas cards. I get the fact that they live on another level. And I serve the anointing in their life that I might attain to it. And then there are dividers, the final category. These are people who cause strife and greatly diminish your life. They are different from subtractors because they are intentionally causing harm. I said they are intentionally causing harm. God hates people who sow discord. That's in the Bible. Just read it. God hates. He has some hates too. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. By the way, a woman and her child were murdered in New York, but they're only going for one murder count now because it's no longer murder to kill a baby in the state of New York. Let that sink in. What will it be next? If you're Jewish? If you're mentally ill? Well, Christians probably will be next, actually, if we don't continue to pray. They are different from subtractors because they are intentionally causing harm. Avoid such people. You need to identify those who occupy these categories in your life. Your response to each group should be different. Spend most of your time with adders and multipliers. Sometimes it may require some sacrifice to be with them. Pay the price. Pay the price. How much access do you give in your life to other people, Pastor Doug? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, whoever you were. It has a direct response to how they value my time. I make myself available to them. If they take advantage of that opportunity, then I'll make myself available to them again. If they don't, I won't. Are you offended? No, I just have a little bit of life. It's a finite thing, and I want to invest my life in people who are going to value what I do and what I know and what God's put in my life, and they're going to multiply. They're going to desire to walk in that and go further than me. You need to be the same way. We try to help people sometimes who are not ready to be helped. I said, we try to help people who are not ready to be helped. You're casting your pearl before swine. And that doesn't mean swine. That doesn't mean somebody's a pig. Oh, you're just being degraded. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that if you throw pearls in a pig pen, they'll try to eat them because they have no idea the value of what you're placing in front of them. Everything is just something to be consumed. Well, I'm sorry, but my life is not something simply to be consumed for the sake of consumption. But Brother Doug, you could feed several people. Shut up. My life is going to make an impact. I am going to stand before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the living God, the fairest of 10,000, the name by which, only name by which men may be saved under heaven and earth. I'm going to stand and give an account for what I did with my life. And I'm not going to be pig food. You don't have to do anything to be pig food. Just be there. I don't want life to happen to me. I want to happen to life, don't you? I said, don't you? Sometimes your association with multipliers may be through their materials, such as books or videos. You immerse yourself in them. The more time you spend with them, the sharper you become. When I want to preach on purpose, I grab books by Miles Monroe. He's one of the premier teachers, Dr. Miles Monroe. He's with the Lord now. He's one of the, got more revelation on purpose than just about anybody I've ever heard of in the kingdom of God. When I want to know about faith, I read from great faith teachers. Missions, I read about the Hudson Landrys. Prayer, I read Dutch Sheets. I have men that I see the fruit that remains in their lives of their time having been spent with Jesus, and I spend time and glean from that presence and that revelation. See, here's the problem. If you got to be the smartest guy in the room, you will make it a point to hang around with not smart people. And depending on how not smart you are, you may be hanging around with guinea pigs and hamsters or something. But you're going to make it a point to hang around with people who can always acknowledge you're the smartest guy or gal in the room. You don't grow that way. You grow a fan base, but you don't grow into the image of Jesus Christ. Most people would rather be a big fish in a small pond, but the kingdom is not a small pond. I said the kingdom is not a small pond. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says in the Lexham English Bible, "Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers, for what participation is there between righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship does light have with darkness?" We have this expression in Christianese, being unequally yoked. Yoked means to come together and connect and go in a common direction together. If you have a yoke of oxen, both of them are either going east or they're both going west. One's not going one way and one not going the other. And if they are, the pushiest one is determining which way they're going. Not necessarily the smartest one, just the pushiest one. Anybody ever had pushy people in your life? Don't look around now. Don't look around. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." Bad company corrupts good character. If you hang around with someone of no conviction, you have to be of no conviction. And by the way, if everybody is okay with coming to you and gossiping and speaking about leaders and speaking about other people in the body, there's something wrong with you. I love you, Jesus loves you, but there's something wrong with you if someone feels comfortable using your heart as a trash can. You just have to be open-minded. I'm not open-minded. I bring every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ, and if it lines up with the Word, come on in. Mi casa, su casa. If it doesn't, get the H-E double hockey stick out of here. I don't want that in my life. That's like somebody saying, you know, your ears and your eyes, the windows of your soul. That's why the psalmist said, set a gate at your eyes and your ears. Set a gate there, set a guard at the gate, and watch what you let into your heart. Amen. Watch it. Satan can't create things in your heart. He can only take the tools that you put in there and shape them as weapons formed against you. Well, I'm just being open-minded. Well, that's like being open-mouthed. I'll just walk around with my mouth open. You could put anything in there you want. What would you call that? Gross. Stupid. And yet people will sit and listen to other people gossip and malinger and backbite. They'll sit and listen to the news. And then later they'll be complaining, "Boy, that news is all fake and bogus." How do you know? Because I watched 86 hours of it this week. I guarantee you it's all worthless. How many are you going to watch next week? 90? Fake news. Okay, now. Find your adders. Find your multipliers. And give up something for them. All that time you're spending watching the news, read a book. If you desire to grow in some area of your life, you should constantly be pursuing the knowledge and the anointing that you desire. Pursuit produces results. Desire itself doesn't. God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. If he responded to need, we wouldn't have any needs. He'd be responding to every one of them. Whatsoever things we desire is important. Your desires are important, but those desires must be pursued. At some point, Denny decided, I'm going to chase Lynn around, and I'm not going to chase any other women around in the whole world. I'm just going to chase Lynn. And Lynn bought some tennis shoes. And Denny chased her till she caught him. But he chose her at the expense of something else. Everything comes at the expense of something else. You have to learn to say no to some things in your life. I love how IBM operates. IBM's been around for a long time. Do you know that? They have what they call planned obsolescence. Every year, they're looking for things to stop doing. And they don't stop doing them based on whether they're still profitable or not. They say, in this industry we're in, about every year there's 10 to 15% new opportunities that will be the most profitable opportunities over the next 5 years. And if we don't have anything that's not profitable in our industry to cut, we're going to cut something that's profitable to make time for something that's more profitable. When I was a child, I did childless things. Then I grew up, childish things. Then I grew up and I started doing some other things. Some things just need to get out of our lives. I'm not talking about fun. Fish, fun, have fun, recreate. By all means, get out in nature. It's good for your mental health. Fights depression. By all means, have a hobby. That's not what I'm saying. But take fruitless things in your life that don't produce any fruit. That's convictions you have that don't produce any fruit. Just get rid of that stuff and pursue the Lord. Pursue passion and purpose. So find your people, and if you have subtractors in your life, okay? And we're going to have subtractors in our lives. That's normal. Give them a portion of your time, but you cannot give more than you have. I'm not going to let somebody suck all the energy, life, and grace out of my life and then me come home. Well, not too often. And bark at my wife because I don't have time for any more foolishness today. You know what that means? I spent my time unwisely because I should have kept some time for her before I gave it away to someone who doesn't even remember what I told them and went immediately back to their same anti-biblical behavior anyway. How do you determine who's in your life? If I give them word, are they trying to achieve it? Or do they just say, well, what else can you tell me? Well, what have you done with what I told you last time? Nothing. Well, that's what you get. Why should I give you more? Why should I spend hour after hour after hour telling you what the Bible says when you never do what the Bible says? Do I love you? Yes, I love you. Do I value you? Yes, I value you. But I'm not going to continue to give you reasons to be disobedient before God. There's no blessing in that. There's no blessing in that. My pastor did not pursue me. I pursued him. I remember he invited me into one of his leadership groups. I was a young believer. He saw me pursuing. He saw that I had some movement in my life. So he said, well, let me bring this kid up and see what he does. I remember I prayed. This is so funny. I said, Lord, I'm going to be around Brother Rod. Don't let me influence him badly. There was no chance of that happening. You understand? Brother Rod wasn't like sitting there with his notepad. Let me see what Doug has to say. Satan used to follow me around with a notepad, but God never did. Hey, that's a good one, Doug. Thanks. But I pursued him. What did that look like? Well, sometimes I cut his grass. Sometimes I drove him places. What kind of pearls of wisdom did you get when you drove him? Not much. He was in the Word coming up and he was snoozing coming back. What's the deepest thing he ever told you coming back from a long road trip? We didn't chat much. I was there to serve him. Just to be an armor bearer. People should earn their right to be in your presence. Now, again, not earn their value. They're all valuable. We don't earn our value. Our value is in the eye, in the creation. It is part of us being created in the image of God. It is part of us being died for by Christ. That's already built into the system. But as far as our time, how much time people spend in your life, they ought to have to earn that. I set leadership requirements in the body to be part of leadership. You need to be a giver. Why? Because the Bible says, if you can't be trusted with filthy lucre, how can you be trusted with eternal things? It's just Bible. It's not, we don't lack for anything here. We're blessed. We're building things. There's still some opportunities to seed for our hearing assistance system, a couple things like that. But all this stuff here that's done is paid for. We didn't borrow any money. God provided. But I don't look at the giving records unless someone tells me they want to be in leadership. And then all I want to know is, are they a consistent giver? Because if they're not giving, it just shows me where they're at spiritually. People are still afraid to give, haven't got a deep enough revelation of what they've already been given. People who still condemn and gossip other people, I don't hate them. But I realize that they have never really received the grace and full forgiveness of God. Otherwise, they would have mercy and grace on other people. It's just an indicator. So by their actions, they determine their access to my life. They determine their access to leadership here in the church. It's a good thing to lead. It's a good thing to serve. I consider it a privilege to serve in the house of the Lord. Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than the president of IBM. You get some earthly benefits now, but one day it's hell. Jesus. Let me close with this thought. John 17, 13 through 18 in the NLT. This is Jesus' last prayer for his disciples. Now I'm coming to you. He's talking to the Father here. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Jesus didn't belong to the world. He belonged to the church. You could have access to him, but you had to make a choice. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. He's expecting you to attack the devil, and he's praying that you'll stay safe from him. He didn't take us out of this. Separation does not mean isolation. Otherwise, we could just get off the grid, get buggies, and move out east somewhere. They do not belong to the world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. We're to go into the hurting. We're to go in and find the takers and sometimes the subtractors and sometimes even the dividers. We're called into this. We're not separated from them. We are sanctified unto God. Well, how do you do that? One, by the way, we just said, people earn their right to be in your life based on how they treat truth. Someone who will not embrace truth is never going to grow. They're not. And you warn them, you admonish them, listen, if you keep ignoring truth, it's not going to end well with you. You need to fear God and stop sinning. You need to stop willfully disobeying the Lord, or it will not end well with you. That's love that confronts sometimes. Love doesn't celebrate everything. I'm sorry. Love is not celebration of everything. I'm not going to celebrate something that's going to damn your soul. So how do we live in the world but not of the world? Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. We all know the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But what's this one little offensive weapon that we have? 6:15 in Ephesians. For the shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, right? What separates a human being from the world? Their shoes. I can go anywhere for Jesus and not be affected by STDs, spiritually transmitted diseases. I can go anywhere for Jesus if the reason I'm going is for the sake of the gospel. If it's not for the sake of the gospel, then I'm unequally yoked. I'm just out partying for the sake of partying. But if I'm going where God told me to go, someone invites me to their house, I don't particularly want to go, but they're pushy. And then when you tell them no, they sit and look at you. They're waiting for you to give an explanation why you're not coming. I don't owe you an explanation why I'm not coming. I didn't start this, you did. You asked me to come. I don't want to come for whatever reason. I can't come. It's not important. I'm not going to come. And so I'm sorry I can't make it. Well, why can't you make it? Well, it's none of your business. I mean, we all have boundaries, right? We should. So then they walk off and you're thinking to yourself, whew, I just missed out on a really horrible time. And the Holy Spirit says, they kind of need you in their life right now. And you say, hold up a minute. I think I can move something around for you. Now, what's my attitude going to be like when I go over to their house? I'm not going to be resentful. I'm not going to be closed. I'm going to be excited and full of faith because I know God sent me there for a reason and something's going to happen. My life is going to have meaning today because I obeyed the Holy Spirit. Not because I had to go over there and pretend like I was enjoying myself like a hypocrite, a Pharisee. So that people wouldn't think I'm a bad person. Fear of man brings a snare. Hey, I'd love for everybody to love me. I'd love for everybody to like me. But I'm not naive. Fear God, honor the King. Fear of man brings a snare. If you don't believe the Bible, believe Steve Jobs. If you want to be loved by everybody, don't become a leader, sell ice cream. Because hey, everybody loves ice cream. Especially with bacon in it. I want to encourage each of us now, let's just do something so that we can act upon what we've heard. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into our calendar. Let's invite Him into our relationships. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me how you see my relationships with others. Paul and I met a couple that we used to know when we were lost. We smoked dope with them and go river rafting, float inner tubing down the river. Louisiana. And we ran into them later after we were saved. And we led them both to the Lord. And we were going to their house after church that Sunday to watch the Saints game. The true black and gold. I felt the daggers in my heart when I said that. And I was, you know, I was working on the soundboard then, the great reducer of humanity. And I was working the soundboard and I was just thinking, I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And the Holy Spirit said, is that relationship yours or mine? I said, what's mine? He said, I thought I was Lord. I got a revelation. You know what? Everything belongs to God. And I need to submit my relationships to the Lordship of Christ too. I grew that day. I went over there not looking to take from everybody. I went over there looking to give. Jesus makes a giver out of you. And giving is living. Amen? Let's invite the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit into our relationships. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the relational God, that you're not off distant somewhere, but you brought us close to you. You brought us to your bosom. You desire to speak with us. You take great pleasure in our presence. You delight watching us grow. You're delighted by our imagination and our passion. And so, Lord, we just submit our relationships unto the Lordship of Christ right now. Holy Spirit, come in and inspect. Let me know how I need to adjust my time. Maybe I need to spend more time with this person. Maybe I should spend a little less time with that person. But God, speak to me today and help me to understand my relationships. In Jesus' name. I want to leave this thought with you as you go. There is an abundance of happiness in the world around us. An abundance. When we are perpetually unhappy, it is because we have isolated ourselves to our own problems. If you will reach out of yourself and try to help someone else, there's unlimited potential for happiness all around you. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.